Welcome back. Hour two, Bet Sweats, presented by BetMGM, right here on the BetMGM Network. PJ Glasser and Kate Constable here with you. A couple hours left to go on the show. We're going to talk about week 17 in the NFL coming up. We already got lines for next week's game out. We got a triple header on Christmas. So Kate and I will look at the board, give out some of our early thoughts with only a couple weeks to go left in the regular season. And then we'll talk some college football on the show as well. We got a huge week of bowl season upcoming, and the quarterfinals of the college football playoff are set as well. So we'll talk about all that over the next 2 hours here on Bet Sweats. But now it's time to check in with our guest. Joins us every Monday, Jason Lockenfora, Odyssey NFL Insider, Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore as well. Give Jason a follow on X at Jason Lockenfora. Jason, always appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us. Let's start there with the Ravens. Another disappointing loss last night. Another double-digit blown fourth quarter lead. And the big talking point is John Harbaugh. And it certainly feels like from a media standpoint, maybe the Ravens moving on at the end of the season is starting to build. But I mean, what do you think? He's been there 18 years. He just signed that extension in the offseason. Do you think the Ravens are going to move on from Harbaugh at the end of the season?
Well, it's an audience of one. It's Steve Bisciotti. That's all that matters. And Steve Bisciotti's own record, the last time he talked to select invited media, who he talked to at a league meeting 4 or 5 years ago, he made it clear he wanted a sweetheart lease. He better get everything he wants to fix up his stadium from the state of Maryland. Otherwise, he was going to sell the team. And he made it clear he's not, and the team will not be bequeathed to anyone. It's not staying in the family. He's not enjoying this as much as he used to. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's basically what he said. Oh, yeah, Lamar doesn't think he's worth my money yet. And I'm going to sell the thing. Like, I'm going to make a lot of money selling this thing. And, like, when I'm, you know, when it's time and it's sooner rather than later, I'm just going to sell it. So, like, he didn't sound like a guy who wanted to reboot and start over. And the interesting thing about Harbaugh is, why would Eric DaCosta get to hire a coach? Like, what's Eric DaCosta done since he was GM that would make you say he shouldn't be gone? Like, if you are rebooting and you're changing your football culture and you're going to go in a different direction, why would you keep bringing back a GM who refuses to do anything to address his pass rush, who is horrible identifying pass rush in the draft? They just traded Oway. Like, they couldn't do anything with Oway. Oway goes to the Chargers. He's their best pass rusher. And these guys acquired a not very good safety who can't tackle, who can't cover. But, like, he knows where people are supposed to be lined up, I guess. Aloe Gilman really didn't have a future with the Chargers. Like, that's what they did at the deadline. So Aloe Gilman could get picked on mercilessly by Drake May. Like, the GM's kind of fraudulent. But he's got everybody in the media bamboozled. Like, every year he'll get an A for his draft. Every year he'll get all A's and B pluses from, you know, his buddies in the media. But, like, they're the worst fourth quarter defense the last 5 years. Like, we can take it back. Wink Martindale, the great Mike McDonald, who is great, had a terrible worst fourth quarter defense in 2 years he was here. And now Zach Orr, over his 2 years here, has the worst fourth quarter defense. You could look at passing touchdowns allowed, I should say. You could look at EPA. So maybe they don't have players. Maybe when you build a team that's filled with defensive backs who don't make plays on the ball, when you take Roquan Smith, who's a total liability in the pass game, and you give him $20 million a year, and then nobody wants to run on you because they can throw all day, when you have no pass rushers worth a damn, maybe that's the problem. Maybe your overarching organizational philosophy, maybe you're not smarter than everybody else. When you refuse to engage in free agency, but you hoard comp picks who turn into nothing burgers, maybe you're part of the problem. So, I mean, look, should he reboot? Sure. Do I think this guy who's looking towards $6 billion for a franchise that he bought into for $700 million, do I think he wants to fly all over the country interviewing 35-year-old wannabes? Like, do I think he's going to think any of those guys are better than Harbaugh? I'm not sure he's wired that way. But if he is, he should throw his GM out too.
Jason, the team that the Ravens beat yesterday, the Patriots, what do you think about them going forward in the postseason? Right now they're in the number two spot. Like, is that a team that can win a Super Bowl this year?
I think, again, like, you've got to look at this for what it is. The Ravens defense is a joke. quality quarterbacks have eviscerated them all year with one exception. Joe Burrow in the freezing cold a week ago when he clearly didn't want to play football. He wasn't going to play football. Had no interest in playing football. But, like, everybody else has eviscerated them. So it was huge for their psyche to bounce back from the Buffalo game. I mean, I think they gained a lot of confidence. Like, the game started poorly. If it snowballed the wrong way and they lost that game, I think they were a one and done. But do I see enough individual pass rush brilliance? Do I see enough blue chip players? Like, you're not going to be able to beat good defenses with good schemes, with real pass rushers, with real defensive backs, you know, throwing 12 times to Diggs and coming down, you know, with 15.3 per reception. That doesn't happen against real defenses. Certainly not going to happen on the road against real defenses in the playoffs. So I do think there'll be lessons to learn in the playoffs. They're way ahead of schedule. But they also, the injuries they suffered in that game, I mean, the offensive line is wiped out. Again, if real teams who Draymond Jones isn't their best pass rusher, that's going to be, like, I think that the issues to the tackles are going to be a problem. If Henderson's out for any period of time, that takes away explosives in the run game and the pass game. Vrabel will have them ready to play. They will get off on being the little engine that could. And, like, I don't think they're going to be an easy out in Foxborough, but I just don't know if they have the horses yet at the premier, most important positions, right? Protecting the quarterback, tackles, attacking the other team's quarterback off the edge. They got to get the, you know, they got to get healthier on the D line. But I'm incredibly impressed by what they've done. Drake May, that was absolutely masterful stuff. Leading, you know, a comeback like that. Again, I mean, the Ravens are a historically bad fourth quarter team. Like, they blow double digit fourth quarter leads like nobody in the history of this game. But yeah, I think, look, I think they'll be an interesting team in the playoffs. Will I be picking them, you know, in futures to make a Super Bowl or anything like that? I won't.
We're talking with Jason Lockenfora here on Bet Sweats. Give Jason a follow on X at Jason Lockenfora, Odyssey NFL Insider. Another team with an impressive win in the AFC yesterday, Jason, was Jacksonville. You know, a team that a lot of people feel like a little bit fraudulent. They go into Denver. Trevor Lawrence looks great. They win by a couple touchdowns. What do you make of the Jags? I mean, is that a team that's good enough to get to a Super Bowl?
Wow. Year one, you know, first time – coordinator, first time head coach. I don't think so. I think, again, they're a tough out. Trevor Lawrence is playing, like, I mean, it's beyond winning football. He's playing almost sort of unimpeachable football. They've activated his legs in a more robust way. And you go back and look at what he did in Clemson. Legs set a lot of things up. The RPOs, I mean, that was where it was at. That was what they were doing primarily. The defense had to get healthier again at the linebacker position. They have. Obviously, turnovers are the key there. Is that something that eventually ebbs and flows? I don't know, but it's kind of like the Patriots. It's a young team that don't know what they don't know, that are playing at a million miles an hour. They're one of these teams where the whole is greater than the sum of all its parts. I mean, I'm not thoroughly surprised by it. You know, I put some tickets on them to win the division. Before they played the Chiefs, that was a ways back, because I thought they were going to beat the Chiefs in that game. And I thought they had a chance to be a lot better than the markets were still kind of indicating. And I talked to a lot of smart people in this league who told me that D coordinator is the real deal, man. Like, he has completely all that changed the culture stuff. Like, it was real there. And that's borne out to be the case. Again, do I think they'll be the last team standing? I don't think so. But then you look at this AFC field and it's like, I don't know. You know, who do you really stump for? Like, it's kind of like, this better be Josh Allen's year, right? Like, it probably better be, should be Josh Allen's year.
Yeah, it's certainly the easiest path Allen has had in quite some years without a lot of those top quarterbacks in the running in the AFC. This AFC team, Jason, the Steelers, quite the win yesterday. Like, can you, did you understand what happened down the stretch there? The call that the refs made, like, it's a touchdown by Jared Goff, but it was an offensive pass interference and no time. So it's not a touchdown, game over. Like, we had a lot of wild endings in week 16, but maybe none wilder than how this Lions Steelers game came down.
Look, the NFL has a massive officiating issue here. There's no transparency. Like, I talked to people in the Steelers front office this morning. They don't know who was in the room at Park Avenue to convey to those officials what was going on. Like, they don't even know who was communicating with whom to like, the league doesn't know. Like, and many teams have asked, like, hey, when in our window, when we're playing, who's in the room? Who's in central officiating? Like, are there interns walking in and out? Like, is Troy Vincent and other people from football operations? Is it just people from the refereeing department? What's the chain of command? Who reports to whom? And who's conferring with whom before you get in the, you know, before Big Brother calls down to the field? They don't know. They run these teams. They don't know. How is that good enough? How is that what we're doing? So nothing will surprise me. Clearly, OPI, somewhere there's a memo or somewhere there was a conference call where this was the week where we clamped down on OPI. What happened there? First of all, how did they rule on the field that's a touchdown? Like, what's happened? Now we don't know what a catch is anymore, like the likely thing. And there's no forward, like, forward progress isn't common sense anymore. Like, when a player's pushed back 6 yards, I'm 52 years old. I've been watching this since 1979. And I'm told by numerous people the whistle was blew on the field too before he pitched the ball. So how was anybody there saying that a touchdown should even be in play? Like, how is that even part of the equation? He never broke the plane, the ball catcher. Clearly, his forward progress was stopped. He's pushed back almost to the 6 yard line. Don't ask me questions about NFL officiating, because they don't. The people on the sidelines coaching these games and the people in the booth sitting with their owners trying to explain to them why they're doing this and why they're doing that don't know who the people on the field are talking to.
Jason, we got about 3 minutes
Happy
left.
Playoffs, everybody.
Yeah, seriously. We've talked a lot about the AFC. I want to get your thoughts on the NFC, because with the Rams losing to Seattle, there's a good chance now that the Rams are going to be a wild card team. They might have to go on the road to a place like Philly, maybe back to Seattle, maybe go to Chicago. They're going to have to play in some cold weather cities. They're still the favorite to win the Super Bowl, to win the NFC. 2.5 minutes, are the Rams still your pick as of now to win the NFC, or would you go with somebody else?
I'm looking at the board there. What does that say? Plus 225. I would have a hard time not picking them. I'm thinking, and as someone who's sitting on a fair number of Rams tickets, hoping that firing the special teams coach was a shot across the bow. Now, they still don't have a kicker. I mean, that's a problem. But special teams have been a big part of this. And it's interesting, that whole family tree. San Francisco special teams are always garbage. Green Bay special teams are always garbage. And the Rams, like, you look at that Shanahan McVay family tree, and none of them have really been able to get it right consistently from a special team standpoint. I don't think Stafford has a problem playing in the rain. I mean, I think this is more coincidental than anything else. I mean, he was due to throw an interception. Do I think he threw an interception in Carolina because of the rain? I don't. I've seen him personally play in the rain several times, playing the cold. I don't think it bothers him. He was in the NFC North forever, played a lot of outdoor games in weather. I just think they take their foot off the gas. I think they go prevent too soon. They just, and offensively as well, a little too, you know, let's just close this out, and it bites them. At some point, I guess that worm turns. But I look at that field, they've been better than the Eagles twice now. I know they haven't won either game, but they've been better than the Eagles twice in Philadelphia. Do I think they lose a third time to them? I don't. I mean, I don't. Probably not. Yeah, I still like them.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, they certainly passed the eye test, both the AFC and NFC playoff pictures. Can't wait for it. Jason Lockett for Odyssey NFL Insider. Check him out, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, Inside Access, and give him a follow on X at Jason Locken for it. Jason, always appreciate the time. Have a great rest of your week. Happy holidays. Catch up with you again soon.
Happy holidays, guys. Thank you.
All right, thanks, great Jason. Stuff there from Jason. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to talk some more NFL. We've talked plenty about week 16. We're going to look ahead to week 17 and any initial games that catch our eye. PJ Glasser, Kate Constable, this is Bet Sweats.